The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned home. But Mary stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and what he told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Two gardens of life, the Garden of Eden and the Garden of the Resurrection. In Genesis 2, we hear how the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed, and how out of the ground the Lord God made grow every tree that was delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He then placed Adam and Eve there to cultivate and care for the garden and gave them this order: "You are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. From that tree you shall not eat. When you eat from it, you shall die." Now we know what happened. The serpent spoke a word to Eve, a lie that crept into her heart and broke the original harmony and justice that had ordered her soul and the whole of her person. And after eating of the fruit, she gave it to Adam, who also ate it. And at that, humanity itself was undone. With the first man having sinned and disordered his own human constitution, the whole of humanity's interior constitution and proper ordering came into disarray. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. But then the Lord, the divine gardener, came walking about in that garden. And at the sound of his voice and his words of love to them, they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. No longer does the Lord's voice sound sweet and peaceful to them, for now they are living in the shame of their doubt in his providence and the sin that came from it. And ultimately, man and woman, who had been planted in perfect harmony, are expelled from the garden because of how a word of untruth, a lie, had broken the perfect ordering of their hearts. But God, in his goodness and wisdom of his divine providence, would not settle for this. And so he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Putting enmity between the evil one and the offspring of the woman, so that the offspring, the very Son, not just of Adam and Eve, but also of God the Father, would strike at the head of the evil one, cutting off the power of sin and death, and setting man free from the power of the devil. And in his resurrection, Jesus Christ refashioned humanity itself. Still, that wasn't enough. And on the morning of the resurrection, once again, God came walking about in the garden. Yet Mary Magdalene, who had been weeping at the tomb and whose heart was still being reshaped, didn't recognize him. Wisely, she confused him for a gardener, but not the divine gardener, for her eyes were prevented from seeing him. And so when he asked, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She replied, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." At that, Jesus broke through her confusion, her doubt, her fear. And unlike the lies in that first garden, he spoke a word of truth, a word that only she would understand. He spoke her name and called from the depths of his sacred heart, "Mary." And at that, St. John tells us that she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." On the one hand, the word of her response indicates that she understood who he was. He wasn't an ordinary gardener. Rather, he was the God who knew her intimately, who had tilled the soil of her heart, the one who had fashioned her from the earth, the one who had made her new. He was the one whose voice could pierce through the confusion of her heart, reorder her desires, and refashion her humanity. And on the other hand, her turning indicates that she has in fact turned her life around, literally and figuratively. Unlike Eve, who turned her back on the words of God in the first garden, Magdalene, whose back is turned on the Lord, now turns around to face him, turns to gaze upon his face, turns to be in his presence. It's in this way that St. Mary Magdalene models for us how we should be to the Lord. We too should turn away from the broken path of Adam and Eve. We too should turn our backs on sin, and we too should turn toward the Lord. For just as the divine gardener not only fashioned the Garden of Eden, so too did he also fashion the Garden of the Resurrection, with a new life flowing from the true tree of life, his saving cross, which he had planted in its very midst. It's there in that garden, or rather, it's here in this garden, while we are in the presence of the Lord in this time of adoration, that he can open up our eyes, not to the shame of our sins, although he might do that sometimes, but more importantly, to the countenance of his face. It's here in this garden that he can open our ears to hear not a lying word or a condemning word, but a word of truth, a word that can set us free. And it's here in this garden that he can reorder our hearts so that no longer will sin and temptation have the same power over us, but in all that we do, we might turn toward him. Lord Jesus, you who gardened both the whole of creation and also man and woman into existence, we come to you, Jesus, bowing at your feet in humble adoration. Please grant us the graces to give sight to our eyes so that we might see your face, to open our ears that we might hear your word, and to turn our hearts to you so that in all things our will and desires can be properly ordered to what is both true and good. In all things, please help us to take refuge in your sweet embrace, so that as we partake of the fruit from the tree of life that you offer us in the most holy Eucharist, we may turn and in turn be sustained for the whole of our lives on this journey to heaven. And when at last our time comes to an end, please speak a sweet and peaceful word from your most sacred heart, calling out our names, so that we too may reply from the depths of our hearts, Rabboni, my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.